So let's talk about this. There are absolutely four situations where you cannot represent two people because it's a conflict of interest. Four situations which are absolutely certain. First, in litigation, you can't represent the two different parties in litigation who are opposed to each other. Now, for all of you, I know none of you do family law, and God bless you, you're going straight to heaven. But a lot of lawyers are saying, well, I can do all the paperwork for both sides. No, you can't. You are actually giving legal advice to both sides about what they should do. What I do in that situation where people come to me with what they call as an uncontested divorce, which is like finding the Rosetta Stone, I say, all right, I'm going to have to, though, your wife came to me first or your husband came to me first. So anything I do, I'm going to make you go to another lawyer to have it looked at, because I don't want you to think that I'm giving you both advice. I am trying to embrace the agreement you make and give you good advice on that. But you should have this view viewed because your wife came to me first, your husband came to me first. That's situation number one. And we have those rules. Of course, the second situation in business, when you represent someone in a substantially related matter where the interests are materially and directly adverse. These, now, for people that do a lot of real estate transactions, I always warn them, look, if you take client A to say that, no, they should be allowed to do this under the building code, and then you take client B to the planning commission the next week, and you interpret that same building code oppositely, that's a conflict of interest, because you have a duty to be consistent in your interpretations. Because I know if you appear before the state controller, and that's how you say that word, there's no, you don't say the P in comptroller. Anyway, it's the state controller. And if you are arguing about tax and you say a tax provision means A, and then you go 2 weeks later, same hearings examined, you say it means B, that's a conflict of interest. That's what it is. So, all right, those are those rules. The third situation is your other duties. When it reasonably appears that your duty to another client, a third party, or your firm conflict. Let's say, for example, in an environmental situation, you represent a big land trust that tries to preserve the purity of water, and somebody hires you to get them a discharge permit into the same stream where this water ends up. That's going to be a conflict of interest. You can't ask, that's asking for different relief. And now you can also have duties to your firm. Let's say your firm only does a certain area of law and tries to keep that consistent, and you have broadened that without permission of the firm. You might have a problem there, but that's not the best example. Let's talk about number four, a past matter. When you have represented someone in the past in a very important matter to them, you cannot later represent an opposing party to them in something else. Now, everybody says, well, isn't there a limitations on that? Well, it's really there could be, but it's got to be a very natural limitations where it wouldn't matter anymore what happened. But I still think you owe a great deal of loyalty to that first client whom you represented. And it's just simply bad politics to represent somebody opposing to a client. Now, I did have a client who I represented her in a lot of business dealings, and I represented her and her husband. Well, when they got an amicable divorce, this is already 12 years ago. And I said, well, I can't because, you know, I've helped you and your husband out. And he goes, no, he wants you to represent me because he knows that you're honest. So they signed a waiver of that so I could represent her. And we worked out everything without any hearings or anything like that. And that's happened several times where people want to waive the conflict because they think I will be honest and fair with them no matter what happens. Okay, so now let's talk about that. When do conflicts arise? Think about this in terms of encounter points. There are three points in your legal practice where you have the best opportunities to judge whether or not a conflict of interest is arising. And of course, those encounter points are the initial contact, when some new party comes into the deal, into the lawsuit, a party dies out, or an unexpected change in circumstance. In every one of those situations, you ought to be able to figure out very quickly if there's a conflict. Encounter point number one, that's when that person comes to you. Initial contact problems. First of all, nowadays, a lot of law firms have websites, and they send you, if you're like me, you'll come in on a Monday morning. Someone will have sent you a 15-page contract over the weekend. They'll call you at 9 a.m. said, did you read the contract? Sadly, I probably had. But No, I don't read my 300 emails a day over the weekend. So they remember, be very, very careful. This has happened to me before. Be very careful about opening anything that you don't know who it's from. What I do now, because, and it's a longer story, but in 5 years ago, almost to the day, it was in October, I got caught by the ransomware virus by opening up a complaint file from the HOA that I was the president of. And it was, I ignored all the signs. It was this, there was nobody that signed it. It didn't come with a thing. It said, here's the complaint file I wanted you to look at. And I was a bigger, oh, okay. And then it was a zip file and it was the ransomware. Luckily, I unplugged everything and I didn't have to pay any ransom and everything, but I probably, you know, lost about 1,000 files. That's a longer story for a different thing. But don't open unsolicited email attachments. Don't open unsolicited email attachments. Delete them and get in touch with the person. I don't accept unsolicited attachments. I did not read anything that you sent me. Plus, if you did, well, you read all of my secrets, you know, then they're trying to, what they call you in the business, taint you. And that is, well, now you can't represent anybody else because you looked at my real estate contract. Don't accept unsolicited communications and do good interviews. We're going to talk that in about a second. Don't talk to someone for 45 minutes and then discover that you have a conflict. Ask who is involved early on. That's what I always say. The interviewing skills are a must. Good lawyers learn to vet potential conflicts very, very early in any new interview.